This program is brought to you by Abiding Above Ministries.
Thank God for America, amen. God bless America. That's what we're talking about this morning. The title of this message is America and the Bible. We love America. I love America. All of my family, for as long as I've known, spoke highly of America and love America. It's as if somehow God reached out of heaven with his hand and painted a picture, a beautiful, beautiful picture, and that picture is America. You know, the more you travel away from this country, the more you realize what we have, the freedoms that we have. I was thinking about that as I was driving here. I was thinking about the trips that I've taken over the years to do ministry, and I was thinking about my missionary friends, my pastor friends, and those, and I thought, you know, I still can preach from the pulpit, and whatever God lays on my heart, I can say. Now, we don't know how much longer that's going to last. So, young people, I want you to listen. This is not a negative message. It is a serious message. This message really is a message to the nation. Not so much pointing at all of us, but it is a message to the nation. My friend, we've got troubles in America. I love America, but we've got troubles. And I wish that I could stand here and say that we were very healthy, but I can't say that. But I want to tell you, the longing and desire of my heart is for America and its people to be whole again. And this is the reason. Because, my friend, it'll take that for us to go and do what God's left us to do, go and make disciples of all the nations. My friend, if we get to a point and we continue to get unhealthy as a nation, you and I may not have the freedom much longer to get on an airplane and take our Bibles and share the Gospels with other nations. And so, this is a very important message. The pilgrims came because they were led by God. And when I say God in this message, for those who may hear this message in the future, when I say God, I'm speaking of Jehovah God of the Bible. No other God. There's only one God. His name is Jehovah. And it's the God of the Bible, the oldest book in the world. All other gods are figments of people's imaginations. Those gods are spelled with a little g, and they're non-existent. There's only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus. And so the pilgrims came because this God moved them and led them to seek a place, to start a country whereby they could worship with freedom. But sadly, a lot of this history that we have as Americans have slowly, subtly, and meticulously, our history has been rewritten for the past 87 years. And now, people are not sure exactly what we believe. They're not sure about what they hear about our founding fathers. They tend to believe whatever they hear from the person saying it, whatever month or year that they may be in. So now for 87 years, we've had school children not hear the truth about the founding of this great nation. We're in such error, and truth is so confused that even our own president went across to another country, first year of his presidency, and he says, America is not a Christian nation. How on earth could you be a lawyer and say that when even the law books have to mention God to deal with any kind of legal matters? And so, that's how confused we are. Instead of there being an outcry from the United States saying, Mr. President, what did you say? We heard nothing. Well, how can that be? It's because those in the media nowadays, those who are teaching school in our public school system, they themselves have heard the lies in the classroom about the history of our nation. Our American history has been rewritten. And so now, as adults, they lead our country in a godless direction. You know, we talk about going off the gold standard. But I tell you, our biggest problem is we went off the God standard a long time ago. And listen, my friend, it's like a jet airplane. If a jet airplane leaves Memphis, Tennessee, and flies to another part of the world, he has to be connected to a GPS system to get to where he's going. Why? Because when they're flying an airplane, they're flying according to the curvature of the earth. And if they don't have something honing them in and directing them and drawing them in, they'll just fly straight on out into space and get totally confused. Listen, America is flying out into space, not knowing where it is and where it's going to hit. And we're all wondering, when is this thing going to hit? We've gotten away from God's standard. And listen, my friend, God's standard is taught in the Word of God. Never be ashamed of your Bible. Never be ashamed for someone to see you with a Bible. My friend, listen, this is the safest thing that we have on this earth to guide us and direct us to live according to what God and how God would have us to live. And so, we live in a country that's missing the mark. There was a time in America when the voice of God was heard in the voice of the people. I mean, wherever you might go, even if you were sitting across the table from a Methodist friend or Episcopal friend or a Presbyterian friend or whatever, you would still be hearing men and women who spoke with the voice of God because they were in God's holy word. Most of the 55 founding fathers who worked on our nation's constitution were members of Orthodox Christian churches. This is a Christian nation. It was built on the principles of the Word of God, and no matter who you hear say it, to hear someone say, America is not a Christian nation, is to hear someone telling a lie to millions of people. It is a lie, and it comes from Satan and his demons. We are told today that our founding fathers were atheists, agnostics, and deists. My friend, that's simply not true. That is history taken out of context. That is writings of our founding fathers taken out of context to make people believe they didn't really build this around the principles of God's holy word. You see, living your life, directing a nation or a church according to the word of God will keep everything tight and close and organized. Getting away from this, my friend, is like I said a moment ago, flying off into space. We cannot, as Americans and as a nation, deviate from the Word of God. We cannot do it. It'll be our demise. We are told today that you can't look to the Bible and get your direction because the Bible is filled with hate speech. We now have working through Congress a bill to try to make it illegal to use hate speech. Well, then you're going to have to decide what's the definition of hate speech. One which will be speaking out against homosexuality. My friend, this Bible, God's Word, speaks out against same-sex marriage and homosexuality. It's in here, it always has been here, and it's always going to be in here. And now we're living in a nation of leaders who came up through a secular educational system that really believe that this book has nothing to do with the founding of this nation. Totally deceived, totally in deception. The picture of Moses, not Mohammed or any other, was upon the first coin that was made in America. And today we still have on our money the grand old words, "In God we trust." And when that was stamped on that coin, and the reason Moses was on that first coin, is because it's talking about the God of the Bible, not the God of Quran or any other book. We must learn from history. We must not rewrite history. We've got a lot of things that we're ashamed of as a nation. How can that not be? We live in a fallen world. Every single Christian family on the face of this earth have things that they wish that they had done better. Amen? Every single business, if you were to talk to the owners, they would all tell you there were several things that we should have never done that we did. And listen, every single nation that's ever existed have done good things and bad things. There has been no perfect nation on this earth. I believe America has probably been the closest in the early years. But listen, if you want perfection, look at Jesus. If you want perfection, look at God and His holy word. Other than that, my friend, as human beings, in and of ourselves, we are not perfect. This nation is not perfect. But thank God this nation was built on the one who is perfect, God the Father, and basing it principle-wise on His holy word inspired by Him. Amen? And so, when they point at our faults, and we have faults, slavery is a horrible blight on American history. But listen, we can't rewrite that and hide it. We need to tell our children what happened and the result of it so that they can see and learn from history. We can't misconstrue the character of some of our greatest presidents just to try to bring them down so that they are no real standard for our children to emulate and to learn about and through. And so, as Americans, we need to remember, South America was settled by men who were seeking gold. But listen to this. North America was settled by men who were seeking God. You and I have a heritage of not gold seekers, but God seekers. That's what makes us unique. They came here for religious liberty. The Medo-Persians had a great nation, but they drank their way to doom in one drunken orgy after another. That civilization came crashing to the ground, and they perished from off the face of the earth. Can't find them. Egypt flourished under Joseph. 400 years went by, and the people had forgotten Joseph and his God, and Egypt went down. We love the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And it's so positive, right up to the end. And God blessed Egypt because of the children of Israel being there, His children being there. But listen, Egypt went down after that. Why? They forgot Joseph. And they forgot his God, the one who saved them from extinction by starvation. They forgot Him. And so they went down. And so Greece under Alexander conquered the world, but he could not conquer himself. He died in a drunken orgy, and the civilization of Greece came tumbling down. Rome was the proud ruler of the world. My wife and I have been there, and it's a lot of history there. There are a lot of things to see, and you can see they were proud people. They were the rulers of the world, much like, in a sense, we are today. Everybody looked to us. They used to say all roads lead to Rome. But you know what? Luxury and lust ate at the center of her life, and Rome perished. At one time, it was as if there is no way this nation could ever come down. But it did because of the luxury and because of the lust. You see, America, we need to be wise. We need to know that we cannot build upon the things that other nations have built upon. We need to finish well. We built this nation upon the principles of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit living in our founding fathers. And that's the same way we need to heal our land and to move forward. We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to have a back to the Bible movement is what we need. That is our standard. That is our GPS. That is our direction. And that is the spirit that built America. She was founded on God, and if she is to live, she must keep building on that firm foundation, and that from the Word of God, America, and the Bible. The doctor says to the sick man, "If you'll listen to my directions, I'll make you well." God says to a sin-sick nation, "If you'll listen to my directions, I will heal your land." The problem is we've gotten away from the Word of God, the map, the love letter to us. God would say to us, "Clean up your lives." You say, "Well, we can't clean up our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit." Well, then submit to the Holy Spirit. Clean up your country, your homes, your businesses, and your churches, and I will make your country whole again. Listen, my friend, I don't know of any way to deal with our debt. I'm telling you, in my mind, I'm thinking there's no way to dig out of that hole. No way. It's going to affect the whole world. That might happen, but if the Lord tarries, and none of us can really know, it seems like He's coming soon, but if He tarries, and He's going to let us have like one more opportunity, my friend, I don't know of any way to deal with our debt until we begin as a nation to financially go back to the principles of the Word of God, owe no man anything. and pay off this debt that we owe. The first president of the United States, George Washington. History tells us how George Washington found rest and relief in prayer. And when he went through trying times, him and his soldiers, as they were passing through Valley Forge, he would pray. With all the cares and anxieties of that time upon him, he used to always have regular times of prayer. And I want to ask you this. Do you have regular time of Bible reading and prayer? Not being hurried, but being able to sit there, settle yourself down, and then listen to God through His Word and by His Spirit. One day, while Washington was leading his troops, a farmer came up to their camp. And as he was walking up to the camp, he heard someone praying in earnest. And on coming near, he saw George Washington on his knees, and his cheeks were wet with tears. He turned around, he ran home. He told his wife, "George Washington will succeed. George Washington will succeed. The Americans will secure their independence." "What makes you think so, Isaac?" his wife asked him. The farmer replied, "I heard him pray, Hannah, out in the woods today, and the Lord will surely hear his prayer. He will, Hannah. You rest assured he will." And look what happened. We won, and it was impossible. Listen, things seem impossible to me now, but listen, let's pray. Let's read God's Word. Let's say yes to Him, and let's see what we can do with what we have left. Amen? We must do this. Not only for America, but also the local church. We need healing. And so, later, during the first part of Washington's presidency, Robert Lewis, who was Mr. Washington's private secretary, said that he accidentally witnessed Mr. Washington's private devotions both morning and evening. He happened in upon him in the morning and in the evening. He said he saw him in a kneeling posture with an open Bible before him, and he said that he believed such was his daily experience. He was a man of the Word, and he was a man of prayer. You know, the only thing you can really find in the textbooks in the public school system is the fact that he had wooden teeth. They don't tell you about all these other things. Why? Because they know, the secular historians know, that that sets the direction of this nation, and they don't want a Bible-believing, principle-centered nation. They want to do what's right in their own eyes, and they want to be free from these things. As we sang just a moment ago, "A mighty fortress is our God," it's said in one of those stanzas, "And though this world with devils filled," listen to me carefully. How many sermons have you heard on demons and devils? Not many. But listen, Satan is real. Demons, legions of demons, my friend, listen, they're real. They're everywhere. You say, "That's just superstition." No, it's not. It comes from the Word of God. And that is our problem in our nation. We have demons running amok and now indwelling people and guiding them to do horrible things, to cause disruptions among people, to make people afraid. And then we have false prophets that arise and false leaders that arise to bring comfort to a trembling nation. And so, you think about George Washington. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of God's Word. His custom was to get to his library at 4 o'clock in the morning for devotion. But that was the foundation that America was built upon. That's how we all started. God's Word says in Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord." In Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation." That's a good beginning to our country. That's how we started. Listen, and look what's happened. America is beautiful, and the whole world, in a sense, stands behind a dark curtain and looks over to bright America and say, "What are they doing over there now?" Why? We're a miracle. They watch to see what we do, and sadly, they imitate what we do. That has brought them prosperity, but now they're beginning to see the demise by the way we're living, to the things that we do. You see, you and I are blessed today because of the men and women that walked before us, that walked according to the Word of God. How many of you old folks remember the parking meters that we used to have? We still have some, but you know, you pull up and parallel park and you go out and you got to put money in parking meters and you click it. And you know, If you're smart and if you're tight with your money, what do? You drive down the street looking for one that's not expired. A lot of you are shaking your heads. And then you see that and you try to get in before somebody else gets it. And so you park on their what? You park on their nickel or their dime or their quarter. What is it now? Quarter? Good. Not above. I remember when it was a nickel. You pull in there and you say, wow, it's got 30 minutes left. We got 30 minutes on their nickel. You know what? Listen to me carefully. You and I are parked on the nickel of our forefathers. Men of prayer, men of God, men who were not ashamed to say, thus saith the Lord. Men who said, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. For me and the local church, we're going to stick by the word of God. We've been parked on the nickel for more than 200 years. Now, when you're in the grocery store or you're in the shop and you're shopping and you've looked at each other and said, we got 30 minutes. We better hurry up. We got 4 stops to make. You start getting nervous. Why? Because you want to get back to your car before it says what? Expired. Listen to me. I love America, but I'm telling you, we're right at expired. My friend, you say, what are we going to do? Listen, we got to have a back to the Bible movement. It's not going to be complicated. It's the heart of man. When the heart of man is changed, my friend, things can line back up. And when those of us who are children of God but are living in apathy would turn back to the things of God and get our own hearts right and to choose to walk by His Spirit, things will begin to change. It will begin to affect our children and their children. And listen, you say, what's the hope for America? My friend, listen, it's going to be leading men, women, boys, and girls to a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, not leaving them there, but saying, look, come along, I'll show you what the Bible says about basic things, and then backing off, waving them on, knowing that the Holy Spirit is blowing them in their life where He wants them to be, and they're not to be controlled by us or codependent. Codependency is a cancer in many churches, has to be rooted out. And so, the second president of the United States was John Adams. Listen to what John Adams said. John Adams said, the general principles on which the founding fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow, I have then believed and now believe, those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. My friend, that didn't just come out of a man's mouth who was trying to make a good speech. That came out of his heart because that man, John Adams, had spent time alone with God. These are the kind of men, our forefathers, who started this nation and made it the great nation that we love. But my friend, America is a Christian nation. As you look about and see all the problems we now have in America, you might feel overwhelmed, much like Washington may have felt there at Valley Forge. But in those moments, remember, what did he do when it seemed impossible? He knelt in the snow. He spent time, regular time with God, morning and evening, in God's Word, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. And so, I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do? Don't say, what are we going to do as a church? Forget that. Say, what am I going to do? Because what you do affects the whole church. But if we're not careful, we'll sit around and say, what are we going to do as a church? Never taking full responsibility as an individual. And listen, you're going to stand before the Lord one day as an individual and give an account of what you've done with your life. Edward Hale, he was an American author, a historian, and a clergyman. Listen to what he had to say. He said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can. What I can do, I should do. And what I should do, by the grace of God, I will do. Amen? Is that your heart? So start asking yourself, what can I do, even though I am but one? And so there was a little girl that had a mom and dad. Every Sunday morning, they would lay in the bed and not get up. And she would say, "Mom, Dad, I want to go to church. Will you take me to church?" And they'd roll over, say, "Oh, no, not again." Eventually, she kept after them about it. Now, you children, you remember this. If your mom and dad get lazy, you start pestering them, say, "I want to go to church." But she pestered them and kept on and on. She kept knocking. And finally, they agreed, not that they would take her, but they would let her walk 2 to 3 blocks in their neighborhood to a neighborhood church. And you know, they never got around to buying her a Bible. It was the kind of family that's just kind of a disaster. You know what I'm talking about. Disorganized, lazy, slothful, sluggards. They couldn't get around to buying her a Bible, but they were willing to let her walk to church. Basically, they didn't have to do anything. Let her go, but didn't ever give her a Bible. You know what she did? She got one of those old big family Bibles that was handed down, and she took that big Bible the next Sunday, and she started walking to church with that big Bible. And she did it every Sunday faithfully with a smile on her face. But, you know, there was a professor of a local junior college living in her neighborhood. And every Sunday, when she would come down that sidewalk, he would see her out the window carrying that big Bible. And it bugged him. He got to where he would kind of start looking to see if she had come. And she'd come down that sidewalk, headed to church with that huge Bible. Just kept eating away at him. Finally, one day, he bolted out of the front of his house. He went down the driveway, met her on the sidewalk, and said, "Little girl, do you believe what's in that book?" She said, "I believe it." He said, "Why do you carry this big book?" She said, "Because I believe in it." He said, "You believe this whole book?" "I believe the whole thing." He said, "What about all those stories at the front of the book that explain how we all got here?" She said, "I believe it." He said, "What about the story of the man who was swallowed up by a great fish?" She said, "That was Jonah. And I believe he was swallowed up by a great fish. I believe it really happened." He said, "That is impossible. No one could live inside of a fish. How do you know that it's true?" She said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." To which the professor replied, "Well, what if Jonah is not in heaven?" She then said, "Well, then I'll let you ask him." This was a little child. What we need to do is get our Bibles and go to church and don't be embarrassed. Don't see it as drudgery. See it as the most needed thing that you do each week is spend time with God's Word, spend time with God's people. Do you realize when we're worshiping together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there is just a little glimpse of heaven here. You think about that. We're going to do that for all eternity. Remember, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Listen, don't look around to see what other people are going to do. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Say, "Though none go with me, I'm going to choose to follow God the rest of my life, that direction, the Bible way." Amen? I'm going to walk the heavenly way, the Bible way. Choose that for yourself. Listen, don't consider what your pastors are going to do, what the deacons are going to do, or anybody else. Remember, you are an individual. You're not going to give an account for me. I'm going to give an account for you, but you're not going to give an account for me. Listen, what are you going to do with what God has given you as far as your time, your treasures, your talent? What are you going to do? Ask yourself, what must I do? I can tell you what other people are doing. They are asleep. They are chasing the wind of the things and entertainment of this world system. They see Sunday school as boring. They see sermons as boring and needless. They see going to church and worshiping God with brothers and sisters in Christ as drudgery. That's what's happened to America. And you know, sometimes we just say, boy, I tell you what, look how bad the world, look at those Democrats, look at those Republicans. You know, a lot of that is saying, well, what about me? What exactly am I doing to be a blessing to this nation? We need to ask ourselves as individuals. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Listen, what did he instruct us to do? He said, go and make disciples. Do you realize that's not just for preachers or pastors or missionaries? Do you realize if you say, I'm a Christian, this is for you. Well, then, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Listen, teaching them. Man, that's discipleship. That's not just what happens here on Sunday morning and in the Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. My friend, that's what you do with your life. You're looking for those to lead to the Lord, and you're looking in a way, how can I rig their cells? How can I be a blessing to them? Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding Above Ministries with Chris Hodges. If you would like Chris to speak at your church or event, please go to our website, abidingabove.org. God bless you and make you a blessing.